Every human being has an inherited right to speak, to be heard, and to be understood. Each of us has three unchangeable, undeniable core needs: to belong, to be worthy, to be competent. When one of these three is out of balance, we begin to condemn ourselves and judge others, place unhealthy stress on our bodies, our relationships with ourselves, friends and family, and even our life work are judged. The power of words and the intent of our questions are the first steps to our peaceful and prosperous now and future. Call in and let's create choices for your destiny. 888-627-6008.
Welcome to the Linda S. Brewer, Your Destiny Architect Show. And as you just heard, this is a call-in live show. So if you have any questions concerning any of the issues in your life, relationships, health, finances, or life work, please call the 888-627-6008 number, and we will be happy to have a conversation with you. And this evening, we are honored to have as our guest, Mr. Alan McNair. Alan, are you with us this evening?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you. And Alan, you currently live in Chicago, correct?
Yes.
And this evening, Alan has much to share with us about the ups and downs of life and never, never giving up. So, Alan, would you just begin by sharing with us how at a young age that you had trauma in your life and your life experiences brought you to a place where you were tempted to jump out of a third-floor classroom window?
Yes. I lived in a home where my father was an alcoholic, and he would often threaten to leave the family. And since this was the second family that he fathered, it was very clear to me that it was possible that he could abandon us to the elements without any support that he usually gave us. And so when I was going to school, I was in high school, and I was preparing to go to college away from home, but I was very uncertain about being able to experience life on my own away from the family. And so when this one man ridiculed my speaking of Spanish in the Spanish class in high school, instead of taking it out on him, I decided to take it out on myself. I tried to jump out the third floor window. Fortunately, the teacher held me back and took me to the counseling center where they had me diagnosed, and I was brought to the hospital to treat paranoid schizophrenia.
Wow, Alan, that is an example of the importance of family, but also the dynamics of what a family can do to an individual if it is not healthy and loving and honoring. And thank you for your bravery in sharing that with us. And so after you were diagnosed, what was your journey?
Okay, in 1969, when I was still in high school, I noticed a paperback book called The Science of Being and Art of Living by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And then he described a technique for calming the mind, relaxing the body, and generally being more creative and dynamic in one's undertakings through this practice of transcendental meditation. But in this book, he said, you cannot learn this novel technique through a book. You must be trained by a certified teacher of transcendental meditation. And so I knew from reading the book and the wealth of knowledge that Maharishi presented in the book that this was the technique that would save my life and bring me peace of mind and dynamic creativity to change my life.
And wow, did that creativity really blossom in so many different ways? You are an author, an artist, behavior modification, transcendental meditation. So give us some more information about all the training you've gone through and the essence of what is really meant to you to have that hope to always stay alive and contributing to the world and to your life.
Well, I found through the transcendental meditation technique both a calming effect and an expanding of awareness that helped my creativity in terms of writing poetry and actually teaching myself to draw and create artworks that support the writings that I made. And also I found that there was a program called Wellness Recovery Action Program, which provide the tools of support for healthy living. And it was a recovery-based type of knowledge that helped people with mental disabilities train themselves to do things in a positive manner to combat the negativity that one found in one's life.
So could you briefly share with our listeners TM technique and also the Wellness Recovery Action Plan and where how they could learn more about that if they want to, but if you could just briefly describe those so we could get a sense of what it's all about?
Okay. Transcendental meditation is a technique that is purely mental in its scope, and it's trained by a teacher where you have an hour and a half lesson on how to meditate, and then you have 4 hour and a half follow-up trainings where people describe their own experiences, and then the teacher places those experiences in the context of how to meditate properly. And then from there, you have a lifetime program of checking your meditation to see that it's done properly and innocently. It's an innocent, effortless, natural technique that distinguishes itself from other forms of meditation by over 600 peer-reviewed articles of research done on this technique that delineates its difference from other techniques. And so it's a self-referral technique that allows you to expand your mind and know the self in the largest sense of the word. Wellness Recovery Action Plan is something that was developed by a consumer of mental health recovery-based education named Mary Ellen Copeland. So you can go on, you can Google Mary Ellen Copeland and Wellness Recovery Action Plan on your computer, and you'll describe some of the things that involve this recovery program. It's also taught in classes, like a 12-lesson class by 2 facilitators for people that have mental disabilities, and they go to this class and learn what's known as the wellness toolbox, among other things, which are activities that they would normally do when they're well. Then they engage in those activities again when they're ill, and it helps provide a sense of stability and calmness and direction in life. You can learn about the TM technique through a site called tm.org.
Okay, well, thank you. And can you share a moment or a time or a thought or a transition when you knew that you had tapped into a truth that you had believed was a lie about yourself?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Was there a time in these studies and in these processes that you had that aha moment that you knew that you had tapped into a truth about yourself, that prior to that, that you had believed it, and it was truly a lie?
Well, the lie was that I was actually paranoid schizophrenic, and what happened was in 1990, I was diagnosed as having a bipolar disorder, and the lie is in thinking that you are your diagnosis. You're not. You're a full-blown person with a wealth of experience and knowledge that goes beyond what may be determined by professionals as your diagnosis.
Well, thank you, because that is so true. We're never our diagnosis. And on a day-to-day basis, how do you manage your stress and life?
Well, I have four pillars of support. One is the experience of self-exploration through the transcendental meditation technique, the support of God through Baha'i faith, the structured time that I engage in meaningful activity that is productive and provides an income, and finally, a support network of people that I know through friends and professionals that help me to bounce off ideas and concerns that I have and discuss the day-to-day stressors that I engage and how to avoid them or how to overcome them.
Okay. Well, thank you. And we want to just share with our listeners, in case they've just tapped in with us, that if you have any questions for Alan or myself, Linda Brewer, please call 888-627-6008. And how did your experiences start to help you start to do with your drawings and your books and all of your artist and creativity? Because you tell us about your books and your drawings.
Okay. My book is I Dream of Amorish, which can be found on Amazon. Right now it's at the rocket bound price of $5.36 for an issue or a copy of the edition authored by Author House, published by Author House, a self-publishing program that I engaged in to produce my book. And my book has illustrations that I developed based on the writings of an epic poem in a science fiction format. And so I found that I was able to get a person to actually photograph the illustrations so that they would be reproducible in a book form. It was based on a dream I had in 1965 about a woman who came to our world after a nuclear holocaust. And she resonated with me because in 1990, I was found homeless, without a job, without a place to live. And she, in landing this on our planet through an accident in space, was herself a homeless individual. And like myself, she decided to contribute to the community in which she found herself living.
And when did you decide to put this in your book form? What was the inspiration there?
Well, what I did was I was able to go to a place called Association House where I had the use of a computer, and I composed the book on that computer. And in 2012, I went to CreateSpace where I created certain editions of this book, but I found that my greatest creativity and greatest license for producing the book as I wanted it was through Author House in 2014.
And what would anyone who reads your book, what would your intention be for them to walk away with about life or how they could apply it to become the person that they desire to be?
Yes, I would like them to come away from the book realizing that even in a world that is basically good, there is evil to combat, and that we should arise to combat that evil, that we should be willing to serve our fellow man, as I have served as a bell ringer for Salvation Army for about 20 years. I would hope that they would provide a world in the way that they behave towards each other that would honor both men, women, and the creatures that live on this planet.
Okay. And in your artist work, like the woman in red, what colors are your favorite colors, and what do they do for your energy when you see them and think of them?
Okay, I work in marker art, and the colors that I really appreciate are blues, reds, yellows, especially the red and yellow hair that my heroine has, Amorish, is supposed to show an iridescent quality to the scalp of the woman's hair. And blue both is calming and strengthening and allows for an expanded awareness of the universe itself. Blue reminds me of the heavens and the sky, and the stars and the that you see in the night sky.
Yeah, and in my world, those colors mean life and belonging and honoring yourself and honoring other people and knowing that blue is about the divine will and the grace of ourselves and how we surrender to our greatness and go and contribute to life. So congratulations, Alan. You have had quite a journey, and to combine all your talents and skills and everything and share them with the world, you are a very brave man, absolutely. And
as you
go through your life from day to day, and you're contributing, and not only are you contributing, you are teachable and you're receiving so much from other people. Who would you say is your hero?
Who would I say is which?
Who would you say is your hero? If you've chosen one thing.
I have two heroes that I look up to. Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King.
And what is it about those two that you found them heroic?
Well, I found that the strength of Mahatma Gandhi in braving the British Empire to bring a nation to life and independent of the Commonwealth was a very brave thing to do, and I would like to be able to contribute as much as Mahatma Gandhi did. And Martin Luther King, in his later life, realized that war itself was an enemy of man and therefore was discriminating against all people.
Okay. And you are currently writing another book, right?
I have two books that I've written, and one of them has been published besides I Dream of Amrish. It's called The Secret Book of Pandaray. It's by CreateSpace, the self-publisher, and it's in prose as opposed to epic poetry. And then I have a third book, which I have not published yet, because I have to organize it a little bit better than it is right now. But it's called The Lost Book of Herbert. And they're all based on characters in the first book, I Dream of Amarach.
But the essence of all of your work is for people to realize their greatness as you realize yours, and that you can overcome any adversity or any situation in life if you'll just hold on to hope and move forward.
Yes.
So tell me about your, tell us about your trip to England and when you met the beautiful female college student and your experience with her.
Okay, she was a student of witchcraft, but a very beautiful woman, which I struck up an immediate friendship on the plane ride from Chicago to England. And then after that, when we were visiting the different sites of England, we were inseparable. But at one point, she decided to go to Ireland for a weekend. And so I found myself alone. And that night after she left, I went to a dance hall where I saw this woman that looked so much like her. And so I bravely went up to her and asked her to dance, and she nodded, and she joined me on the dance floor. We danced through several numbers, but she was enchantingly silent and very quiet. So I felt like I was in the presence of a doppelganger or body double of my friend, that this was actually someone or some character that was created through witchcraft, or it could have been a spirit guide to keep me out of mischief and out of trouble. So I had the good fortune to dance with this person until she finally silently left me and I went home.
So your entire life you've been protected and guided by a wisdom that is, you can't put into words, but you know it's there. And your way of contributing back is through all your gifts and talents and helping mankind to make choices where they can live a prosperous life.
Exactly.
And so after you get through this book, do you have a vision and a plan of what you will be doing?
I'm actually right now enrolled in Maharishi University of Management, and I'm studying the theoretical basis for transcendental meditation called Vedic science. And with this, I hope to be able to make better choices for my future and more healthy decisions made based on the experience that I have with transcendental meditation and my understanding of Vedic science. But then after that, I hope to go to a PhD in communications, and eventually produce a movie of my book.
And what drives this creativity and this vision and this passion to always be learning, contributing, and this what I would call the cycle of life?
Well, I say that the main wellspring of all this feeling and passion comes from the transcendental meditation technique, but it also comes from a firm basis of God's support through the Baha'i faith. And therefore, the Baha'i faith, among other things, says that worship, that the service to mankind is actual worship. So it provides activity that people do with the nature of divine worship of God.
And do you have a relationship with your father now or with your family?
My father is no longer, I'm sorry, my father died at the tender age of 55 of a heart attack. So I try to take the best lessons that I've learned from his experience and his example and try not to dwell on the negative things that I experienced through him. Because he had a strong work ethic, which resonates with me, and he had a compassion for all of mankind, which resonates with me. And those are the qualities of his character that I take with me as I go through life.
Well, congratulations. You have certainly mastered those. So I really admire how you have mastered those, and you're giving back, and you have gone through life knowing that there was something greater than your experiences. So if you have anything you would like to share with our visitors, would you share with them? And also, if you would tell them how they could get in contact with you if they wanted some of your works or know more about your works and what's going on in your life, we would appreciate that.
Yes. People can contact me through my name, Alan McNair, 123 at gmail.com, and then provide their personal information that they're comfortable with sharing so that we can start a dialogue. If I have either their email or their phone number, I would be willing to talk to them individually regarding things in their life and sharing things that are happening in my life as well. I also have what's known as a V card, which is a virtual business card that they can find by going to V card and looking up Alan McNair, and they can contact me through that means as well.
Okay, and I believe that is alanfrankmcnair.123look.com. Is that correct?
Alan McNair, 123 at gmail.com.
Yes. And then your website is?
It's actually a page on Facebook called Amrish Productions.
All right. Well, thank you. And if you summed up your life in one sentence to this point, what would be your summation of you and your life at this moment?
I'm a dynamic personality who has a passion for living, and I like to serve my fellow man.
And you do that beautifully, and you have certainly gone the journey to be able to do that. So as you go forward, we certainly know that you will be serving mankind. And how do you receive, Alan? Because a lot of times when we have had to survive life and we've had some of your experiences and where you are, How do you receive love and honor?
I do it through engagement with other human beings. I find it that love and compassion for myself comes from the expanded awareness that I receive through twice daily meditations and through interacting with other meditators.
Okay. And when you serve mankind, is there one word that describes that more than others, or do you have a word or a sentence for that?
Yes, it is to live with compassion.
Okay. And I certainly sense and hear that in your voice. And it's compassion. You've been compassionate with yourself and patient, and you have the gift to pass that on to others where they can tap into their greatness. And that is truly a gift, and we acknowledge that. And I would like to remind our listeners, if they do have a question that they would like to discuss or ask Alan, please call 888-627-6008. and we will be happy to connect with you. So is there anything in closing out this session that you would like to share, Alan?
I would like to share the happiness that I feel at this opportunity to reach out to many listeners of your radio station, and I'm very excited to have been your guest.
Well, it's certainly my honor and my privilege, and I really admire and I hear and see and read about your passion for mankind, and I certainly sense the struggle and that it is for a young man to overcome what you and come through what you have with the compassion for mankind. So congratulations. You have done what I call a beautiful, beautiful job. And so we will, do you have anything else you would like to share, Alan?
I would just like to say that I love everyone, and I think of everyone in a positive light, encouraging them to be positive and understanding of others.
Okay. And at this time, we're going to take a brief informational break to hear from our sponsors. And so, Alan, you're welcome to the second half. We're going to be talking about some of the services that I offer and the work that I've done. So we will have a brief break and we'll be back with you shortly.
Have you ever caught yourself thinking, what is wrong with me? What is the belief that stops me? I know I have amazing potential locked inside and an incredible destiny waiting now. The unhealthy belief, which is always rooted in a lie, do I belong? Am I worthy? Am I competent? Which creates an unhealthy relationship with oneself and others. Stress within and between, battles of self-worth and value, anxieties and past failures all have the potential to lead us into a skewed view of what is a healthy relationship. Connect now with Linda Brewer to discover your belief that is stopping you from creating the destiny you were born to live. You speak, you are heard, you choose your destiny. Visit her at lsgcorporate.com.
Welcome back to the Linda S. Brewer, Your Destiny Architect Show. We have had the honor and privilege of having as our guest Mr. Alan McNair, and he is going to stay with us. So if you have any questions that you would like to ask either one of us about any situation or conflict in your life, please call us at 888-627-6008. And until we do have some callers, Alan, I would like to share with you and our listeners some of the work that I do, which really falls in line with what you've been talking about, because at the time of conception, we create our belief system, whether we belong, whether we're worthy, or we're competent. And then all the words and things, all the words that are spoken to us, our mother's actions and the things that are said to her and our father's bloodline help form our belief system. So anytime that one of those, do I belong, am I worthy, or am I competent, gets out of balance, we begin that condemnation, that judgment of ourselves. And this is where so much of our fear comes in, our stress develops, and then we have this sickness and our financial lack and our destructive habits. So we are unique creatures in that we are uniquely made and knitted together, but we all manage things differently. And as you made such wise choices, to take everything that was happening with you, that it was a diagnosis, but it didn't have to create your destiny or make you the person. So you, your life history is exactly what we're talking about, and that we can truly create a prosperous, peaceful now and future. And I admire your energy and your vision about where you're going and how you want to be involved to make sure that you are making a difference in lives. And once this belief system, our belief systems are formed, we begin to speak words. And the power of our words really create our destiny. So we have an experience, we hear something, we make a belief, and then we begin to say, I have cancer, instead of saying, I was diagnosed with cancer. And when you think about the power of our words, our tongue is the smallest organ of the body. It's like the keys is the smallest thing that turns the engine of a car. Or the rudder on a ship is one of the smallest parts of it, but it is absolutely in charge of the direction of that ship. So some words that makes a huge difference is I am, I receive, I choose, I believe. And it takes away that blaming and judging and condemnation, you, or if this had not happened to me, that I would be a different person. So Alan has taken all of his experiences and turned them into not only being a compassionate, walking about human being, he's put it into words, he's put it into paintings. He is involved, and he's willing to take a risk, and he's willing to come and tell the world his story. And so that takes courage. So what is your courage? If you told your story or you ask your question and you begin to realize that you were creating a destiny, your destiny, with every word, with every thought, with every deed, what would you change? How would your life be? And Alan, feel free to come on in and just ask questions and join in this anytime that you feel like you have or have experienced something that would help people understand. That would be awesome. And not only does our go ahead, Alan.
When I was homeless, I decided that I would try to change that situation myself, and I went to the social agencies to help support that change. And I was originally in a shelter where they said, if you want to live in that shelter, you must show that you were ready to eventually walk away from that shelter and support yourself. So I took up that challenge, and I became involved in an organization called Thresholds, which helped with housing and jobs. And I was able to eventually learn from cleaning up the kitchen at Thresholds how to work responsibly and perform the tasks in a timely manner. And then I was promoted to the theater arts program, where I was able to tell my story in theaters, but also do maintenance with those theaters. And so I found myself earning a living and being able to earn an income to support myself. And I first started with assisted living and then went on to eventually find my own place of living unassisted and independently myself.
Thank you, and what came up for me as you were saying that is that we can come out of situations that look impossible, but asking ourselves the question, am I willing to do it? And then going and asking for help and never giving up, but constantly seeking, where am I going? Who can help me get there? And how can I help myself? And so I hear that, and that your story and your life and your determination to keep going, keep moving, and being independent so that you can contribute. I have a gentleman I study, and he says, you know, when you're poor, you can't help anyone. And so that strikes with me, you know, the more independent I am, the more I can contribute, the better human being I am. And that's really why I believe we're here, is to be a human being, that we take care of ourselves in an honoring way, but we contribute to other people. And we contribute to other situations. And you have mastered that. And so if I were sitting near you, Mr. Allen, I would ask you if I could give you a hug. And one of the things I love is a whole body hug. Have you ever heard of a whole body hug, Allen?
Yes.
Okay. And that is truly, for those who haven't, you put your hand on someone's neck and on the lower part of their body, and you lean over on their shoulder and you take a deep breath. And then you come and you do the other, and you switch hands and you take a deep breath. And then you come back and you take their hands and you look them in the eye and you give them a gratitude statement. And so my gratitude statement would be to Alan, I'm just inspired to go and contribute more and really check in with what is my belief and what is my stuck point and what hidden talents do I have in me that I'm not using. What capacity do I really, really, really have? And that is the gift that I'm having from you, Alan, tonight. So thank you so much.
I think everybody deserves that.
Yes, and really getting to the point where you know that and you live in that truth is an awesome space to begin to really, really live and build that relationship with yourself. So often when I mention the word relationships, people think, oh, that's someone else. And but it really is about that relationship with ourselves, those thoughts. And if we don't learn to direct those thoughts and those feelings and those actions into a peaceful, prosperous place within us and outside of us, then our bodies will not lie to us. Our bodies will start to tell us, we've got junk that we are dealing with that we're not willing to let go of. We're not willing to forgive. We feel stuck and hopeless. And if you'll just listen to your body, and if someone uses a lot of war words or I think, I believe, I see, they're living out of their head and they're not bringing that beautiful wisdom and spirit along with them that will help them get into that stage of meditation and understanding themselves, where they can do like Alan has done. You begin to ask yourself questions and you begin to express it in ever what form that you might want to express it in. If we have weight, if our shoulders get real tight, we're carrying responsibilities that are not ours. And so if we would just assume our own responsibilities and give the other people in our lives the opportunity to assume their responsibilities, then we have relationships that empower us, that do not entangle us. And so an entangled relationship would be moving away from that spirit of essence of our greatness and our wisdom, where we we're just living in pure love and light without any thought of judging or blaming or anything. But if we don't, we become a persecutor, or we let other people persecute us. We become a victim, or we become victimized. We become a rescuer, or we want to be rescued. And I have this image of this essence being, everyone comes with this light of an eternal flame, like at John F. Kennedy's memorial. But with our belief systems and our stuff that we believe that creates stress, whatever it might create, we build a crust over that eternal flame of love and wisdom and light and hope within us. And so then we wake up one morning and we don't have any hope. We don't have any faith. We don't have any friends. We are alienated. We are hopeless. We're discouraged. We're confused. And you do not have to stay there. And how you begin to resolve that conflict is you begin to ask yourself, what is the core thing here? And it's never what it seems. I had an experience this week, and this may seem minute to you, but for almost 30 years, my kitchen stove has been uneven, and I've hated my stove. I've had people to try to balance my stove so I could cook evenly on top of it. And this week, I saw this little bug run across my stove, and I jerked it out and started cleaning behind it. But when I started to push it back, I didn't push it all the way, and it wasn't my stove. It was my floor. And now I have an even kitchen and a stove. So the problems are never what they look like. It is an untruth that we believe about ourselves. And as Alan has beautifully illustrated, when we start to ask ourselves questions, then we begin to resolve the conflict. The conflict is always driven by one of our undeniable, unchangeable needs. Do I belong? Am I worthy? Or am I competent? The behaviors and outcomes will be driven with four core energies that we come that will help you make your greatest contribution, or they will show up as this victim, rescuer, or persecutor. Our choices is to take everything that happens to us and find a way to love and contribute from that. It is to honor ourselves with a power that we cannot even conceive to create, but it's already in us. So those are things that our belief system affects. And the four core energies that I was speaking of, they come, and you're welcome to go to my website, www.lsgcorporate.com, and up in your right-hand corner, there's a CVI click. If you click that, you can take the core value profile, and it's no charge. Just be sure you put in your correct email, because that would be associated with your results. But you will find out these four unchangeable, undeniable core energies we all come with. And if you're looking for it in the business world, or if you're looking for it as an individual, it is a beautiful way to explore. And after you take it, if you want more information, please call me for a 15-minute free consultation. But the energies are power, and a power core value, it means that you are supported by faith. You just know what to do. You don't understand it all the time, but you just know what to do it. Now, in the business world, that can get you in trouble because you think that you've got someone who's going to do something. And if they don't do it, you just go do it automatically without even thinking, and then you realize what it can do to your team. But as an individual, by faith that you know what is to do, you go do it. It's just pure intuitive. Another core value is love. And this is about being supportive in truth. And if you lie to someone who has a lot of that love energy, it is very hard to get them to ever trust you again. But in the business world, these are the people that you want to lead your team, because they will build relationships. They will support your vision. They are modest, mostly intuitive, and they like a little risk. But they love truth. And if they feel like they're not getting it, their conflict strategy is manipulation. Another core energy that some people have is what we call knowledge. And these are the people who love history, they love details, and they want to preserve it so the next generation, and this is what Alan is doing, he's preserving his experiences in his writing and his drawings and his poetry and his contributions. And they love justice. And if they don't feel like that they're getting justice, they will look like they're becoming a very aloof individual. But they are offended that you cannot appreciate them. And so, but when we work out of these core energies, our life work is like playing. If it's not, then we become stressful, irritated, tired. And then we have a core energy called wisdom. And these people love compassion. They love low risk, and they will just answer. They'll solve problems that may not even make sense in the moment, but if you will listen to them and start to understand and start to ask them questions, then they will start to give you more information. But sometimes they will just blurt out an answer because their core innate wisdom has taken them so far down the road that they are failing to do a process, a step-by-step with the people that they're either working with or they're married to or they're creating relationships with. And if they feel like they are not being understood, they will go what it looks like they're interrogating you, because they love questions. And questions always search your intention of your questions. Is it to honor and to find out more information? And a lot of times a why question will shut someone down. They'll feel like that's a judgment. But if you would say, how did you come to that conclusion? Or tell me more about that. What is it that you understand about this that I'm not seeing? So you invite them into your world to help you with more information so you can help them resolve more issues in their lives. So this is how we are uniquely made, and we can contribute, or we can draw up, or we can have acts that destroy the human spirit. And the human spirit is such a beautiful, perfect thing if nurtured in truth. And I just invite each one of you that are listening tonight or will listen in the future, that there is nothing that you cannot overcome, and find that place in your spirit of peace. And that peace will help you be prosperous in whatever you undertake. And there will be people who say, well, I'm dying, I'm broke. Whatever your situation is, there is peace to be found in it. And we can make choices. And you are welcome to visit me at LSG Corporate or Linda S. Brewer. and or email me at lindab@lindasbrewer.com or call me at 864-205-2518. I am on Eastern Time, and my passion is to help people feel safe, that they can come and talk with me, they can ask me anything, and I embrace them with wanting to know what they really, really, really want, and some choices, a process that they can, you can begin to make different choices, and that these beliefs that we have formed, I think our beliefs always get triggered, but we're always healing, and when you've taken the choices that Alan has taken, and so many people on our BBS radio stations and throughout life, they have taken these choices. It's not that we don't get triggered. It's just that now we have a place that we can go within us to find that peaceful place that is calm so we can make a choice now. Wayne Dyer best described that when in one of his books, when he was talking to an engineer who did not want to be an engineer, and the gentleman was at 48, and Wayne Dyer said, "And when did you decide to be an engineer?" He said, "Well, I was told at 18 that I was to be an engineer." And Wayne Dyer says, "So you're letting a decision of an 18-year-old run your life at 48 years old." So what decision, what choices did you make, or what beliefs did you form at an age that is now running your life that is creating issues for you, either in your finances, in your relationships, in your life work, in your health? I personally do not believe there's anything such as a midlife crisis. I think we just reach that point where our minds and our bodies and our spirit says, wow, we've had enough. Let's stop and reexamine this beautiful temple and the wisdom that we have in us, that for the rest of our lives can be different. Alan, do you have anything you would like to share?
Well, I was thinking when you were talking about choices and that sort of thing, you're talking about the power within us. I was thinking about a thing called the Enneagram. Have you ever heard of that? It's a program that talks about 9 different personality types and the choices that one makes based on their personality type. And one thing is that I'm a number 2, and I have to be careful about when I do help other people that I do not expect something in return, because that comes from within me rather than from outside myself. That peacefulness, that calmness, and compassion doesn't come from someone else contributing to my life, but what I contribute to my own life.
Thank you. And Alan, again, thank you. And our time is up. And we thank you for listening. And we look forward to being with you again next week, Monday evening at 9. Good night, everyone. Go and create a great life.